The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. While Lutheran Disaster Response works on your behalf around the world, I'm the Program Director for Lutheran Disaster Response in the United States. As the Program Director, as you might imagine, I travel a great deal. Now, what worries me most about traveling is not the fact that my plane is often late because I go through the nightmare called O'Hare Airport, but what worries me, it doesn't worry me about falling asleep when I'm driving at the wheel or running out of gas or having a flat tire or transmission trouble. What worries me is that when I'm in the blind spot of people, or when others are in my blind spot, you know what I'm talking about? On more than one occasion, even yesterday coming in here, I had to look into the blind spot, because if a car was there and I would try to pass a car in front of me, I could get into trouble. More often than I like to admit, especially don't tell my wife, I'm going to change lanes, but I have to quickly swerve back. So if you don't look in the blind spot, I have to remember to do so. Today, as I come here this morning, I bring you greetings on behalf of Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton and the members of the churchwide staff in Chicago, as well as the nearly 4 million members of the ELCA and nearly 9,300 congregations. It's indeed a pleasure and a joy and an honor to be able to share with you this morning and some of the work that I do on your behalf. Now, while traveling, I take time to listen to those who have been affected by a disaster. I like to do this because what I hear over and over and over again from people in a disaster area is the fear that they and their situation will be forgotten. Yes, once the media moves on, victims of disaster often fall into the blind spot of our society. Sadly, it takes a lot longer for a family, for a community to recover, to heal from a disaster, no matter what kind of disaster it may be, natural or personal. For example, we are still working in New Jersey following Hurricane Sandy, which struck back in October of 2012. But I'm here to tell you this morning that those impacted by a disaster will never, ever be in the blind spot of Lutheran Disaster Response, will never be forgotten. For we know that we are some, if not the last organization to be working in an area impacted by a disaster. There was once a 13-year-old boy who was starting to develop. He was starting a little bit of hair on his lip. He was starting to build a little bit of muscles. He was working out at school during the PE period, and there's a problem at home. There's always this one problem. In the backyard, there was this large rock. Now, sometimes that rock, he used it as home plate. Other times he used it as, in his imagination, the top of Mount Everest that he would climb up. But it was always in the way. So that one day after school, he realized that it's time to move that rock. So he came home, put his backpack in the house, and went outside. He looked around to that rock, figured the best angle to go. He got down, and he pushed as hard as he could, and it didn't move. He looked at it a little bit again, went around to the other side, and pushed, and it moved half an inch. He did this a few other times and got a little bit frustrated, as you might imagine. So he went back in and remembered in science class a thing called a lever that he learned about. So he went and he got a cement block and a nice long board. He put that under the rock. He stood right on the end of the board, pushed down, and it was able to move 2 inches. You can imagine he was frustrated. So he went around to another part of the rock and did the same thing, pushed it under, and still 3 inches. Still frustrated. So you can imagine by this time he was very frustrated, but he was thinking that, wait a minute, somebody's looking at me. We know how that feeling is, right? So he looked back at the garage, and he saw that his dad was there, come home from work, leaning up against the garage. He yelled out, "You haven't been using all your strength." You can imagine what that 13-year-old boy thought. "What do you mean? I've been pushing as hard as I can for 1/2 hour, and I've only been able to move this rock a couple inches. I've been standing here for 15 minutes. If you had asked me, together, we can move that rock." The rock of disaster, no matter how small or large, is a difficult thing to move. Sometimes folks can move it by themselves, yes, but other times they need help. Thankfully, once the rock gets out of the way, the family, the community, can start to recover, and they can begin to find their new normal. Now, most people impacted by disaster don't know that there are people to help them move the rock of the disaster, help them to rebuild their home, help them walk through the emotional and spiritual issues of disaster recovery, help them rebuild their lives and find that new normal. We in the disaster community are advocates for those impacted by a storm, and in doing so, we bring a measure of health, hope, and comfort. Let me tell you a story of a man who could not move the rock of disaster called Hurricane Sandy out of the way by himself. When asked about the days and the months after Sandy left a gaping hole in his roof and flooded his entire home, Gilbert Johnson says, "I was in shock, barely living day to day." Not only did Gilbert need physical assistance to rebuild his home, he needed emotional and spiritual support to help him, give him the strength to go down that road to recovery. Fortunately for Gilbert, after hearing about the help available to him, he picked up the phone and called a Lutheran Disaster Response case manager working with our local affiliate at Lutheran Social Services of New York. Once Gilbert invited the case manager into his home, the full extent of the damage to his home was finally realized. Gilbert was living, yes, without part of a roof, for his electricity and his heat had been shut off, his septic tank had collapsed, and he was at his wit's end. He was, in fact, paralyzed with inaction because of the overwhelming needs because of that storm. And Gilbert, who is legally blind, was unable to see well enough to fill out any of the forms. And having talked to a few people, little progress was made in helping him. He had almost given up until he made that phone call. Gilbert said, "I was skeptical. I didn't trust anybody to help me. But my case manager proved to me that he would advocate for me, proved that he was on my side." But the case manager, the person who helps a person impacted by a disaster fill out the paperwork and navigate their way down that path to recovery, got him the help he needed, walked with him through that process of rebuilding his home. Yes, the Lutheran Disaster Response case manager and the local long-term disaster recovery committee, along with volunteers from all over the country, helped move some of the large rocks in Gilbert's life and walked with him on that journey to rebuild his home, rebuild his life. You might imagine Gilbert's very grateful. He said, I never could have imagined this. It is better than I ever could have dreamed. Now I have hope. In this morning's gospel lesson, we read John's story about how the first disciples came to follow Jesus. You will notice that Andrew brought his brother Simon to see Jesus. And in fact, look it up. Whenever Andrew is mentioned in the gospel, he is bringing someone to Jesus. After Simon's encounter with Jesus, not only was his name changed to Peter, his life was changed as well. While you and I may not encounter Jesus face to face, when we do meet him face to face, when we are looking in the eyes of those who are hurting, the face or else the face of the one who is helping. And when we do so, our lives are changed. Changed from being concerned only about ourselves to being concerned about our neighbors, especially those who are in need. It is this concern for those who are hurting, people such as Gilbert, that is the motivation for all those involved with Lutheran Disaster Response. Every day, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is calling you to follow him, calling you to help move the rocks in the lives of those around you. You see, we all have rocks in our lives. Some of them are as serious as impacted by a disaster. Some are even more serious, but not always. While they may appear to be small rocks to us, they are huge to those affected by them. All of these rocks keep others from living life to its fullest, keep us from living and serving God in the way that God calls us to live, keeps us from living a life of peace. And often those affected by the rocks are in the blind spots around us. So in response to the great love shown to us by Jesus, in response by the call of Jesus to follow him, you can be a rock mover. You can tell others the good news of Jesus Christ, that he looks into the blind spots, and that you can even reach out and help to move the rocks in your neighbor's lives. Now what you do may not be rebuilding a person's home. Maybe it's just being a listening ear. Or maybe it's giving a word of support, especially in a time of illness. And maybe it's just saying a prayer for that person. While what you do may not appear to be significant, when you do look into the blind spot and do something, anything, to help move the rocks in people's lives, you will make sure that those who are hurting know that they are not in the blind spot of your life or in that of our Lord's. And you'll be used by the Holy Spirit to bring a measure of comfort, peace, and hope into their lives. May God continue to bless Zion Lutheran Church as you serve our Lord. You serve those in need, no matter the size of the rock they're struggling to move. Amen.